AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM radio, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And as always, I ask that you contact family members and friends and let them know that they can tune into another very interesting broadcast here on 860 by going to their radio, or if they have Alexa, Alexa 860 AM. Also, you can go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link and listen to rebroadcasts after the show simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime broadcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these have been very, very interesting days. And I want to first of all thank the people that help us on a regular basis. And they include Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, Curtis Ellis of the America First Jobs Alliance, which I'm telling you, that is a project which is really getting a lot of PR. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to start today by saying, during this very special time of year, there will normally be a lot of occasions to celebrate holiday events together with family and friends. And unfortunately, as we all see, the coronavirus caused cancellation of not only family, but community events as well. And this year, we'll need to celebrate the holidays through social media and also on the internet. It's going to be really very different. And as we move forward to resolve the difficulties that's being caused by the coronavirus, everyone is encouraged to, of course, take the advice of healthcare specialists so that additional people are not infected. Those of you that are watching TV and listening to the radio, you see what's happening. There's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. And by the way, as you're in contact with family and friends during this holiday season, be sure to promote our efforts. The Buy American Made campaign has been around for a long time, seeking to unite people to support America, the place where we live and seek to enjoy good health, jobs, and of course, prosperity. And all of us working together certainly can say that we did our very, very best to make sure that good things happen right here in the USA. Now, we all know that we're looking for businesses to open again, but I'm wondering right now if business leaders are working hard to expand here in the United States. Are they meeting over the internet? Are they Skyping one another, asking, what are we going to do? What product lines can we expand? I'd like to know if that's really taking place, so that we don't go back to business as usual once the United States and its economy is fully open again. We certainly don't want that to happen. I don't, because it's not good for the country, it's not good for the economy, and it's not good for our future. We have to remember that personal financial responsibility is our job. It's not government's job. However, when government mandates that America's businesses have to close, government then has to find ways to help the businesses that close or are forced to close and help the employees that have been hurt during the coronavirus on the local and also the national level. It's really, really been a learning situation all the way around. And also, I'd like to say that this should not be a political football with Democrats or Republicans, because as we look back, we see that There has been over 30 years of both people in charge of our government, and yet we are in a very difficult situation. So do let me know what you think. Remember, you can always email me by going to michael@americanworkersradio.com, or let me know simply by going to that email, or send me a note to the Buy American Made campaign, and I'll be happy to share with the people your thoughts. I'd like to take a minute now and turn to Rich Logis. Rich, how are you doing?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to everyone. Good morning to our listeners. Let me please just reiterate what I've been saying ad infinitum the last several weeks. Just be cautious, but don't panic, Michael. And you know what? The rest of the week is going to unfold. It's going to be a tough week in some parts of the country. My optimistic prediction, Michael, we're about 22 days out from month end. I think by May 1st, people are going to be back to work. We're going to ease back into our normal routine. That's what I actually think is going to happen.
I agree. And by the way, Rich, everyone I speak to wants that to happen. They also want us to be very watchful of what the hell we're going to do in our future. I think this opened the eyes of a lot of people. I think they saw that too many foreign investors came over, bought our businesses, took them overseas, and left our people as people that go out to the stores and buy stuff, not make things and not have a good economy for our own people. I know that people are meowing and growling. Meowing and growling about everything that they hear, but they're not understanding. This did not happen as a result of poor leadership in the United States of America. 3 months ago, we had the most outstanding economy growing in this country in a matter of weeks after that, because the World Health Organization did not give us the proper information. They are defending China and not bringing the facts and figures to the table. Our economy went down the drain beyond everything else, and that is really very sad.
Can I make a point on that, Michael?
Sure.
A point on that? Because as I always say, and I used to say I always joke, and I'm not sure it's even a joke anymore, but Democrats and the D-Mike Democrat media industrial complex want Trump supporters dead or impoverished. I'm convinced of it more than ever. They want us dead or impoverished. And this narrative, Michael, that the economy of course there's work to do, of course it needs to be stronger, but this narrative that it wasn't as strong as we believed because of what happened. I mean, it's not really the best analogy, Michael, but it's one I've been using and people seem to resonate with this. If you had a Ferrari and the transmission fell out, you wouldn't say, I don't want the Ferrari anymore, right? You'd fix the you wouldn't say the Ferrari's not as great as Ferraris can be. It needs a repair, though. It needs a major repair. Once you get the repair done with original parts, original labor, now you're back to having a Ferrari. Even if it isn't exactly what it was 100%, but it's 98%. Well, I'll be satisfied with 98%, 90% of where we were once we get the transmission fixed. We wouldn't say that, Mark. Oh, it's not really as good a car as I thought it would. No, it's got a major problem, Michael, and it needs a major repair. That's what's going to happen here. So it isn't true. It just isn't. That narrative pervades our. It pervades all across the spectrum is because there's an odd. I don't think any of us have seen this in our lifetime. There's an odd yearning by the opposition and its media to see the country decline and diminish over time. It's a very odd. I mean, it is bizarre on one hand, but it's only bizarre when you don't maybe understand the motivations and the intent. You know, it's like I said last week, people asked me, Rich, you're a former journalist. You know, why is there all this misinformation? Why is there all this disinformation? Why are all these quotes taken out of context? Why do they say that so-and-so said something when he didn't really say it, but there's a larger context? And I say, Michael, asking the D-Mike, to be honest, is like asking aloud, why didn't Jeffrey Dahmer just stop killing? Why didn't he just stop? I mean, Mark, why did he just stop? It's not in the nature to stop. Mm-hmm. It's not in the nature to stop, Michael. So more than ever, the responsibility that people have to verify information and not be ignorant, irrespective of what side of the political spectrum you fall on, the responsibility of not being ignorant falls on us, not on CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times and Fox and any other outlet, Michael. It's on us.
I agree. Rich, I want to tell you something. There is so much anger in the United States now. People walking with masks, people without a job, people know that they're going to be downsized. Even though the stimulus is working its way through the process, people are concerned. What is going to be our summer season, our fall season? What are we going to do to get back to normal? And by the way, are we really going to go back to business as usual? Right now, I want to tell you, be very honest, and the media, national media, all the national media, has major investments in China. So they do not want to publicly complain about a country where they're getting their money put in and they're getting commissions from. Also, the World Health Organization. This is a very disappointing situation to me because the United States just continues to give them money year after year in the budget without questioning what are they really doing. Once they heard in October and November that there was a new virus, every country of the world should have been notified. Be careful. They did not do their job. No president, no senator, no congressman called them on the carpet. And by the way, there is no proposal for what the World Organization is supposed to do. It's a sheet of paper that says, and we will do this and we will do that. There is nobody questioning them. As a result of their bad work, the entire world has been affected. Their name, the World Health Organization, has been disgraced. The coronavirus should have been addressed by the end of November, early December, and we should have already had everything on the table. Instead, no. In fact, I listened to them yesterday. They are still defending China and the way China does this and whatever they have over them from China, I have no idea. But yesterday I heard President Trump say that they're going to look into cutting back on some of the money until they know what's going on with the World Trade Organization. And not only the World Trade, but the World Health Organization. How do you continue to give something to someone, money, food, whatever, if you don't know what the bottom line is benefiting you? This went on in America for too many years. People came up with brainstorm ideas, and those ideas were of no value to us, the taxpayers. They're not going to be of any value to our children and grandchildren if we don't do something about it. I'm going to turn to a minute. Curtis Ellis, tell us everything.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to hear some reason and common sense. Rich, thank you very much for pointing out something that everybody needs to be aware of. The media, the corporate media, it does seem they are absolutely on the side of blame America first. They're rooting against America. They have this, they're proceeding from this place of they want to see America fail. And it's become so clear in this pandemic coverage. I was, the day before yesterday, I turned on National Public Radio. My alarm clock went off, my alarm radio went off, and I heard Morning Edition. And this was the day that the numbers were going down. The Cuomo in New York, Governor Cuomo, showed that the hospitalization rate is coming down, the ICU usage coming down, ventilator usage coming down. He's revising down the numbers. He's saying, I think we may be at the peak now. Well, these reporters, they you could hear it in their voice. They were disappointed. They were not cheering. They were sad, saying, President Trump said there's a glimmer of hope. Why is he wrong? I mean, those are the kind of questions they were asking in commentary. It's really sad. It's more than sad. It's dangerous. I think it's a function of the brainwashing they've received for years. I mean, we're now, I don't know how old you are, Rich, but I grew up in a different time. I'm 66 years old. When I grew up, I was taught in school how to read, how to do arithmetic, how to write, and American history and the world history. And America was a good place, and it had a land of opportunity and all this. And as I got into junior high and high school, I was taught again how to read and how to read critically and how to think critically and how to spot false arguments and the different rhetorical devices, appeal to authority, appeal to emotion, appeal to, different ways you can spot how they're trying to trick you when somebody's, you know, telling you a story or trying to sell you a bill of goods. And I don't know if they're taught that anymore in school, but I definitely know this from what I read and what I see, that so now we have a different generation, though, in the media, and they came up, and I'm sure they were taught that America is a racist, sexist, horrible country, and they definitely want to see us fail. And you see the New York Times reporters out there talking about what a wonderful job China has done combating the virus. They haven't done a wonderful job. They lied. They hid. They arrested the doctors who reported this. I don't have to go through the entire litany of what they did, but most importantly, they refused to let our experts in there to get a firsthand view so we could prepare, so we knew what to prepare for. They refused to share the biological samples.
You know, you're right, Curtis, but I'm going to add this. This is part of the job of the World Health Organization. As soon as this is found out to be a virus or anything else, they're supposed to go in and directly address the situation and then notify all their members. If you have a problem in your local community, it's up to your police and organization representatives to let you know what's happening. Well, that's exactly what the World Health Organization does. It keeps in contact with the World Health Departments. If there is a problem, the president, the whole Congress, the Senate, and the news media should have been told that there is a virus in China. And, you know, many viruses came from China. And unfortunately, we never heard about them till long after. So I really think it's time for the World Health Organization to be put on the carpet, because it ruined not only America's economy, it ruined the economy of many countries. Many, many countries are suffering as a result of this.
Yeah, the World Health Organization is useless. As I said last week, we would do better listening to the WHO than listening to the WHO. They are compromised entirely by China. And you asked, you pointed out, Michael, that they don't have a mission, right? They don't say, this is what we do. I'll take it further, because I wrote about this months ago, just how compromised they are. And the guy heading up the organization is not even a medical doctor. And he was a member of a Maoist party, a Marxist party in Ethiopia. And now he was backed by Beijing in his bid to be elected. He's elected as the head of the World Health Organization, elected by the member states, most of which have been bought off by China, most of which are third world tin pot dictatorships or semi-socialist hellholes. So that's who elected this guy. But most importantly, he ran on a platform, he said, I want to be head of the World Health Organization, and my priority, I will make the organization's priority universal global health care, universal health care for all on a global scale. Pandemic preparation was third or fourth on his list of what he wanted the agency to focus on. That's a matter of record. So he was up against another candidate, a Brit who was really a doctor who wanted to focus on pandemic preparation, but Beijing backed this other guy who they own. They're worthless. They're worthless. They go around with a tin cup around the world trying to get people to give them money to meet their budget, and they never meet the budget. And now the United States, President Trump is exactly right to be questioning whether we should be giving them any money. Because
you know, Curtis, I'd like to add this. If you speak with anyone in the White House, I think it's time for us to have our own watchdog of viruses and anything to do with health. Because looking at what the World Health Organization has done, it ruined our economy, it hurt our workers, it hurt our families. Just look what's going on. Over a one-month delay in reporting the facts and figures to the world's leaders. There was
nothing done.
So China just said, oh, it's a regular virus, it'll go away. And the World Health Organization sort of just went along with it. That's not the way it is.
That's not the way this is.
We have to have a watchdog. We need an advocate of our own, because no matter what is happening in the world, America's economy, American workers, America's future, America's youth, America's seniors, everybody has to be number one as our priority. We can't expect our neighbor to be worried about us. We have to worry about ourselves.
That's right. Look, they lied. China lied. They lied. I don't know how much of this dropped out before. They lied. They hid the fact that there was human-to-human transmission, that the virus went from person to person. They kept the fiction alive that if you didn't eat bat soup, you were okay. As long as you weren't playing with pangolins, you weren't going to catch this thing. They knew that was not true. The World Health Organization told everybody no human-to-human transmission because they were taking the talking points from the Chinese Communist Party. And the World Health Organization told the world, nothing to worry about here, folks. It's okay. Just lay off the Kung Pao bat and you'll be fine. I mean, this is just no General Tso's civet cat and you'll be okay. Don't just pass on the civet casserole and you'll be okay.
I want to ask you a question, Curtis. Have you ever been to China?
No, I haven't. I've been to Taiwan. I've been to Japan. I haven't been to China.
Because if you go over, be careful. Somebody may want to offer you some bat soup.
I'm sure they'd offer me a whole lot more than bat soup. That's why I ain't going over there anytime soon. Friend of mine went over there. She was telling me she had turtle soup. It wasn't turtle soup because she doesn't like to eat things like that. She had some kind of soup. Her mouth was numb afterwards. And this was at a fine tourist restaurant. This wasn't on some street. Some street food stall, and it's very questionable what goes on over there in the kitchens and in the markets and everything. But then, what's most important is China withheld the biological samples, the blood samples of infected people that we would need to create the antibody test, so we could determine if this thing was raging through the population. To this day, they have not shared that basic public health standard of transparency.
Okay,
and
Curtis, let me ask you a big question. What do we do to end this type of secrecy? That's the big problem. Fire them. We want to do something. I mean, Geneva's a nice place where the World Health Organization is. However, we need somebody more dependable. From what I see, this has not been very good for a number of years. I can see why they're not well funded. But the problem with the funding is the United States has always picked up the major part of funding the World Health Organization. And now that organization, hiding the facts from China, what happened in China now has caused a major, major glitch in America with our jobs, our economy, our people are really, you know, in a state over this. Nobody wants to sit in their house. Nobody wants to be walking around with masks. No one wants to see their children not be able to go out and play. This is madness, and it has to be addressed. It's time for it all to be addressed. You know, 30 years ago, when there was no internet or no, you know, social media, you could maybe get away with it. But today, with the internet, it should be immediately put into the hands of the health department in every state, every city, every country. Yes,
Curtis. Exactly. Look, we have to, first of all, how do we get back to where we need to be? How do we get to where we need to? First of all, we have to be absolutely clear and stop pretending the World Health Organization is some kind of objective, dependable authority. You know, President Trump, you heard him yesterday saying they got it wrong. And they've been pro-China. They've been China-centric. We have got to be absolutely brutally honest with the American people and with the world. We are not going to pretend anymore that these organizations, headquartered in Geneva, being run by these international bureaucrats who are susceptible to all kinds of bribery and pressure and extortion from the Chinese Communist Party, are dependable, and we can't be putting our fate and the future of our country in their hands. I mean, that's insanity, and this shows it. You know, we have outsourced our trade policy to the World Trade Organization. We've outsourced our public health to the World Health Organization.
That's right.
And these are and where in the Constitution does it say we do that? Nowhere. And then you have Henry Kissinger running an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday, calling for a new world order, saying the pandemic has ushered in a transition to a new epoch, that the problems of today can only be dealt with by international and transnational institutions. National governments are a thing of the past. That's the old epoch. I mean, this guy is so out of touch, and we've got to push back on this and just destroy that narrative. Because now, and this goes to what Rich said, my fear, and the greatest fear, is that this DMIC, as he calls it, the Democrat Media Industrial Complex, they are so bought into this idea of global citizenship and globalism that they can't even hear what I've just been saying and what you've been saying, Michael, and what President Trump said. They can't imagine that a World Health Organization isn't the ultimate creme de la creme of authorities. They can't believe that. They can't accept that. Oh, it's only the kooky tinfoil hat black helicopter crowd that questions the supremacy of the United Nations. I've covered the United Nations. I've been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. It is a corrupt organization. It is thoroughly corrupted. It's full of second and third rate intellects, and even that's overstating how bright these people are. And they're all in it for themselves. They come from these terrible countries. I mean, it's not their fault, but they come from very poor, a lot of the people there, they come from very poor countries, and the opportunity to live in Manhattan and get a decent wage and be in nice surroundings, They're just so happy. It's like their job's done already. You know, they've already accomplished their life's goal. They've gotten out of the squalor that they were supposed to be in. And anyway, the idea of a global authority is going to take care of us is just preposterous.
It's insane. And it's totally insane. I mean,
we had a very nice country here until we started outsourcing all of our decisions and our future to people who don't care about our country. And that's essentially where we've gotten to.
And you know, China, I want to deliberately. Can I add something to that? The people
please.
That don't care about our country, and I want to just say, many of them are still sitting in the halls of Congress and the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
These are the people that sold us over the waterfalls without a boat. Hopefully we'd find some way to swim. Oh, no, this has got to end. This election is a time for us to show who we really are and where we want to go. That's why I've been pleading with people. You have time on your hands. You're in the House. Register to vote. You know, there's so much going on with this voting stuff now. You know, they want to give everybody a ballot. They want to do this. They want to do that. How about the regular way to vote? How about the way? This is what's going on in our, many of our state houses, and they're looking to do it, I guess, in Washington, D.C. Waste our time, push the people around, use the votes in any way they want to do. That's not the way it should be. It is time to do a lot of house cleaning. I mean a lot of it.
The State Department is also run by people who don't want to see America succeed, who don't like America. I get this, again, from firsthand reports, people I know who work there. Anybody who's paying attention can see that. This pandemic has proven, is just the latest in a series of data points which tell me the current Washington establishment, by which I don't mean the Trump administration, because he has been fighting a battle with the Washington establishment ever since he arrived there. The Washington establishment has proven itself incapable of governing. The Washington establishment includes the D-mic, includes the media establishment, it includes the think tanks, the foreign policy establishment, the permanent government, the bureaucracy, which includes CDC, FDA, the whole alphabet soup. They have proven themselves incapable of governing this country. They fed us the hysteria of the Russia collusion hoax. They fed us the travesty of the Mueller special counsel probe, which failed to look into the actual collusion between the Hillary Clinton campaign and Russian disinformation specialists. They failed to look, the Mueller probe failed to look into the FBI's continual lying and abuse of the surveillance courts to conduct illegal surveillance on Americans. They didn't even look at that. So that whole thing was a travesty. Then they gave us this Ukraine nonsense, the impeachment hoax, and now they give us the pandemic scare based on models, computer models, which scientific certainty predict we are all going to die. And as a result, we must close down the greatest economy in the world, crush small businesses, and all go on the dole till the end of time, or at least till Beijing picks up the tab. They have proven themselves absolutely incapable of governing. And, oh, I should start before that, because these are the same people and the same establishment who told us there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and we should dispatch our troops there to get involved in an endless quagmire, who failed to see an attack coming on the World Trade Center when people inside the FBI were giving reports of crazy jihadis with long beards and odd garb taking flying lessons and saying, I don't want to learn how to take off and land. Those reports, I mean, I don't know if you remember that, but those were reports filed from the Minneapolis field agents, and it just got lost. These are people who accused that Jewel guy of bombing the Atlanta Olympics, turned out to be wrong, who missed who the anthrax bomber was, who told us free trade with China was going to be a wonderful thing. It would make us rich and it would make China peaceful. They got that wrong. They have gotten, who failed to see the collapse of the Soviet Union. They have gotten everything wrong. They have proven themselves absolutely incapable of governing this country.
You're right, Kurt. You know, this one thing that really the people have gotten the message on is this. The governance of this country, put in the hands of the people in Washington for 30 plus years, has brought us to the point where 80 and 90% of our drugs, the things that we take for our good health, are made in a foreign country. And
right.
People are angered. When I tell you, they are angered over it, to know this. I mean, this has been going on for years. It started out with 5%, then 10%, then 20%. This has been going on for years, yet the national news media, many of them who have investments in China, they figured, hey, this is going to benefit us. This is going to benefit our investment. So we'll just continue to ignore it. What's the big deal if it's made in America or made in China? But when it comes to something like this, the pandemic, and all people are saying, I didn't know that was made in China. Oh, I take that every day. That's made 100% in China. What the hell is going on? Where is America? The question is, Curtis, where is America as a result of these kind of leaders?
That's right. It has led us, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I don't know what their good intentions were, but they sure have taken this country to hell in a handbasket. And these people treat us now, they treat the American citizens as lab rats.
That's right.
As lab rats in their social engineering experiments. And we've had enough of it. And they've got to be retired. This country used to be run by common sense people who had hands-on experience as mechanics, engineers, farmers, writers, doctors, even, I dare say, a few lawyers. But they were in the real world. For the last 30 years or more, since my generation, the baby boom generation, assumed positions of power, it's been run by these professionals and academics and people who are totally out of touch with the real world. I got a degree. I learned something in a school at Harvard, at the Kennedy School of Government.
Right.
So I know everything about everything now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the technocrat who can run this country. And my modeling says, I've got this scientific computer model that tells me that free trade works all the time, and it's good for everybody. Oh, and now I've got this other model, which tells me what the temperature is going to be in downtown Philadelphia 50 years from now. And so I'm going to make my policy decisions based on that. Look, these computer models couldn't even predict how many hospital beds we're going to need 3 days from now. And they're now telling us that they can predict with 100% certainty what the climate of this globe is going to be. There are so many variables that go into this type of calculation. What kind of hubris and arrogance does it take to think that you could actually predict that with your little toy, your little tinker toy computer machine?
You're right, Curtis. I want to tell you something. I always tell people, please live in the present world today.
Thank you.
Because yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today we are living here. And, you know, I want to tell you, if we get this economy back running sooner than later, I'm going to beg every person that I know to look for American made, support those local businesses. We got to get America back in a boom situation. Again, our people are already had a good lesson from this. This is an extremely good lesson. Maybe things happen for a reason. I'm going to turn to Mark for a little bit of a report. I was looking for Larkin today, but I'm pleased to see that some good is being done to address the crisis that was caused by closing the businesses. Now, there's a lot of things going on in conjunction with the Small Business Administration trying to get some money to the businesses, because the businesses were ordered closed. They didn't voluntarily close. They were ordered closed. And some people thought that it would be 3 or 4 days. Most of the business people say, well, you know, I had all my stuff in there. And, you know, I sell food and this and that. We thought it would be 3 days, 5 days, possibly a week. Here we are several weeks now. So the Small Business Administration, in conjunction with the stimulus package that the House and Senate agreed to, is now being addressed to the people in the business world. And I'm going to ask Mark, do you have any update to give us about that?
Oh, boy, do I. How you doing, Mike, Larkin, Richard, and, you know, Henry, thank you. Curtis, thank you always. Mike, so much going on, but, you know, I want to start first. We need to, you know, if this isn't the wake-up call of wake-up calls for Made in America, nothing will be. You know, I always want to, you know, give hats off to our healthcare professionals and those on the front line with the disease always. You know, there's so much going on. 10 years ago, to date, China caused me to open the Made in America stores by taking $3 million, a business account worth $3 million. And 10 years later, here we are, China knocked the legs out again for our country. And here we go. And it's going to make the Made in America movement stronger than ever. And we know that. I've got a lot of supporting information, Mike. And we'll kind of run through, you know, so first, you know, not making our personal protective equipment over. I've dealt with PPE a long time here with General Welding. But not making it here and making it in China, and they're controlling it, not even top quality, but also they keep it for themselves, and it's actually killing our doctors and nurses. So if that doesn't light the light bulb for everybody to believe in Made in America, I don't know what will. But we, the consumer, has all the power. We Americans have to take care of ourselves. It's not going to be government. It's not going to be big corporations. You could go on, and Curtis, you're dead on with all that. And but there's so much to be said of the business right now and where we are. We're on week four. I have weekly and daily meetings where we are. We've laid off 30 of our 70 employees. We've closed 4 of our 7 facilities. I've been in survival mode, been through the hell. Not only 07, 08, 09, I'm 35 years in business now. 2016 was one of our worst years, also never mentioned. But, you know, I'm talking to a lot of businesses. Mike, there's plans out there. You got the EIDL loan, the grant for $10,000 that we didn't see yet, and that's $10,000. That's peanuts to me. When you're running a $50,000, $60,000 payroll a week. But then you got the payroll protection plan, which we've, you know, they finally, it failed Friday. SBA couldn't handle it. And then they went to banks, and they've okayed certain banks, and then our bank got approved. And I worked on frontline with a lot of them. It's submitted, and hopefully there's the money in that account, you know, for that payroll protection plan. One problem with it, they want you to call your workers back, and there's no work. So I'm not sure, you know, what genius came up with it, you know, for it to be forgiven and forgave on that money. But, Mike, what's going on, though, a lot of, you know, how long can we go with this close down of a business? You know, with the unemployment plan, you get your unemployment, plus you get $600 a week. So a part-time worker that was making $100 also gets their unemployment plus the $600 a week. So I've had people call me already, my employees, they're not coming back. And it was hard enough to find a worker before this crisis. Now they've given them more money than my workers are making. So there's some major problems starting to surface with some of the help being given out there. They're throwing money at something, which never works. So there's a ton of things going on, but the movement from Don Buckner, Clyde Strickland, Jason Blunt, some top dogs around the country, the movement's stronger than ever, Mike. Everybody knows that it has to be the Made in America movement in the stimulus package, and I read through it. There is money for a lot of building and making and manufacturing things in our country if the money's left. So, Mike, a ton going on. It's survival mode. It takes a while to get into that fighting spirit again to survive. Rich, you've been there. Larkin, you've supported businesses. A lot of small businesses are having some serious troubles. New York is very tough. If a landscaper goes out right now, they get a $2,000 fine and then a $5,000 fine. So we've lost our landscapers, our construction guys. Nobody can go out. It's springtime. It's our time to shine. And there's no question we came off the top economy we've ever had. But to watch your revenues diminish, you know, ours went down 75%. So, Mike, very serious times. We must talk about it on the show. Two things. Can businesses survive this, and when do we turn it back on? How do you turn this big machine back on? It's not a light switch. The economy hit a tree. It didn't pump the brakes. The oil and mining industry, I do a lot with the oil. God knows when it'll come back. You know, gas is 99 cents on the reservation up here right now. So, really? A lot going on, Mike. a ton to be watched. 4 weeks they shut the economy off. Or can we go 2-3 more weeks? We've got to make it. To me, it's all math and how long you got cash flow, which is the oxygen of any company, any business person listening. Stay tight. Save that cash flow because you're going to need it to make payroll. Once you're out, you're out. Your fuel tank's
empty. I want to say something that Mark's visionary. I don't like to say revolutionary. Have you guys always noticed that all revolutions always end with taking our money? So, like every revolution, we're going to have a revolution. But speaking of, because I have to do this every show, we got a swing voter in a swing state. Our great audio engineer, as Mark says, makes us sound good. Now, I'm not presuming to say how he would or would not have voted, but I do want to let everyone know that we've had a burnout today. Bernard Sanders, who knew he wouldn't be the nominee, and this is where people close to me get mad at me a little bit. Bernard Sanders he knew he wasn't going to be the nominee in 2016. And he knew he wouldn't be the nominee for 20, so he's out of the race as of a few minutes ago. He's out.
Is that a fact?
He's done. We had a burnout. So we got a burnout. So now it's all crystallized for our swing voters in swing states. We need to not take their votes for granted. You got to credit Curtis. You got to credit the Democrats for something. They move in a singular direction, unified toward a singular goal. And I keep telling everyone, Sanders he knew he wasn't going to be the nominee. And what's different about a candidacy like that compared to, let's say, a Ralph Nader or a Ross Perot, Ralph Nader and Ross Perot knew that they wouldn't be elected president. Now, doesn't matter the hindsight of whether you should or shouldn't have voted for them, but they didn't run a campaign thinking that they were going to win the presidency. Deep down, they knew that. So my plea to Sanders voters is not to call them stupid and dumb like we always do on our side, but it's to try to show them, again, 4 years later, Bernard Sanders never had any intention of being the nominee. He knew he wouldn't be. So if you're supporting a candidate who's doing what he did simply for whatever, I think it's to grift, but irrespective of the reason, Michael, there was never any intention of getting the nomination because he knew in 16 he wouldn't, and he knew in 2020 he wouldn't.
But what was his purpose then for running?
To grift. Look up the word grift, and you'll see what it means. But that's what it is, though. Or it's delusions of the highest level. So either grifting or the highest level delusions. You see, Trump wasn't deluded because in 2016, Mark, to show you the difference between the RNC and the DNC, we're in April. The Dems have been talking for a month. Shut it down. Biden is the nominee. In 16, we were winning primary after primary. And we went into the convention talking about a brokered convention, Curtis. Not the Democrats. Shut it down. One candidate, 270, on to November. Vote blue no matter who. One direction, one goal. What did we do? I think John Kasich should be the nominee.
And no, they want to shut down the election. Now they want to do the election by mail. I mean,
of course they want to do it by mail. And the reason they're saying do it by mail is because they're already telling us, this is where I get a little, I don't mean to be overconfident and hubris on this. Don't anyone construe what I'm about to say to sit on your ass come November. But they're already telling us, Curtis, how they're going to lose in November. The Russian collusion narrative has already been presented 7 months early. We didn't have enough vote by mail. They're already telling us how they're going to lose.
Rich, you're 1,000% right. I was having this discussion with the former White House communications director yesterday. They are setting the stage. They are setting the table for whoever wins this next election will be illegitimate. It was an illegitimate election. So they are now discrediting the election before it happens because there wasn't enough vote by
That's
mail.
Right.
And if there was vote, and if they get vote by mail in key states, and they manage to steal the election by harvesting the ballots and doing all the other funny stuff, that won't be legitimate. So they have essentially discredited the electoral system. That's what they're doing.
Seven months out.
And you know, guys, I want to add this. While our government people are playing these kinds of games, for the last 30 years, China's communist government leaders stayed focused on getting jobs and businesses for China so they can control the world. Communist government of China invested time and money to upgrade China's position in all the manufacturing sectors, products used by the people of America and of the world, especially America's consumers. They did a great job. My question is, how did America's leaders do? The answer is poor, because right now, when you look at all the money that China has invested in America's businesses, it's pretty scary. When you look at all the stuff we're bringing over from China and filling our stores, it's pretty scary. I think this coronavirus has to sink in and set people take the reality of what are we going to do to stop this? For
Michael,
the last 30 years, China's communist government focused on manufacturing, which degraded America's place as being the workshop of the world for 100 years.
In my rant, Michael, I'm sorry about this. What I wanted to say is that Marx, being a pioneering visionary, Mark, the time is coming. It's going to be here. And I'm publishing an article this week, I think a lot about what Larkin said, and you know what Michael, you say, our great audio engineer, swing voter in a swing state, we're going to earn his vote for November. Mark, what you've done, you know, Curtis, all the works you've put together, and I wrote that most have missed. I call it a political polygamy. Most have missed the connection of the dots between mass immigration, globalism, these Democrat-run cities, the bipartisan outsourcing of industries, and the dependency on supply chains of despotic nations. It's all got to come, Michael, to as close to an end as possible. And I want to ask a question. We don't need to get into it right now, but maybe we address it next week. Why do we, Curtis, you don't have to answer it. Why do we import 2 people every second, 7 days a week? Why are there 2 legally imported bodies? Can someone show me why? Well, because we need it for the labor. I'm sorry, I must have missed, Curtis, the approximate 7 million Americans who are looking for work. So none of those people, not one, can fill a job with some training that we import bodies for? Has anyone actually sat back and said, I wonder if maybe there are a little couple too many people in some of our big inner cities? Even if New York and Michigan with Detroit and New Orleans, even if their so-called leadership, Michael, handled this pandemic flawlessly, even if they handled it flawlessly, it doesn't change a fact, which is this. There are too many bodies right now.
Well, let me, Rich, I agree with you 100%. Let me just add a little icing on that cake. Elmhurst Hospital in New York, which is ground zero for the overstressed hospital system in New York, for what we're seeing on TV, for what we're hearing about. Elmhurst Hospital is in the middle of 3 Asian neighborhoods filled with immigrants, legal and illegal. These people live 10 to a room. They're working in the lowest paid jobs. It's a public hospital. You want public health care? You want government-run health care? Go look at Elmhurst Hospital. That's what you're going to get. And it is an overcrowded neighborhood. All the signs, you go around that neighborhood, all the signs are in Chinese. They're not even in English. It is stuffed with Asians, stuffed with people, just fresh off the boat, as we used to say, immigrants, and it doesn't matter whether they're legal or not, and they live, they're poor, and they live in crowded conditions. So, yeah, that's like your picture. That is your snapshot of what you're talking about. Why are we bringing more people in? So then when Andrew Cuomo gets on and says, well, when New York is today, that's where the rest of America is going to be tomorrow. New York is the tip of the spear. No, New York is the spear. And if we follow your policies and turn America into a sanctuary nation for the poorest and most desperate people on earth, and cram them into crowded apartments and then cram them into crowded public transit, yes, we will have New York Elmhurst Hospital across the country. But that's not the way the rest of us live right now.
Curtis, we're going to continue this conversation next week, God willing. I want to say a special thank you to Curtis Ellis, to Rich Loges, Mark Andel, and also to our Mark and Conley, and also to Henry Chaplinsky for always being there to help us to make common sense more out there in the minds of the people. It's really sad. You see what's happening. There's so many events that are been canceled for the holidays. Things that people depended on for goodwill, happiness, religious events, community events. All these things had to be canceled mainly because people were not informed properly as to what's happening in the world with one virus. And look where we've come. I think it's time to hold the country that brought us this nonsense accountable. Let them help to pay some of the bills that America is going to have to pay as a result of their lies and not informing the people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very great holiday season. There are a number of communities, religious groups celebrating events at this time. We wish you and yours the very best. Kindly spread the word. We will have a rebroadcast of today's show. When you do speak with people, whether you're Skyping or on the phone, please ask them to tune into American Workers Radio. And you can also tune into AmericanWorkersRadio.com and see a lot of information that will help them become part of our movement. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Happy holiday. Veso Ishvyont.